Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
In the fall of 1991, an older German couple from Nuremberg were hiking in the Ustel.
I don't know how to pronounce this word.
In the fall of 1991, an older German couple from Nuremberg were hiking in the Ustel Alps. Their names were Helmut and Erika. They were about 10,000 feet up on the east ridge of Finnspitz, a mountain that straddles the border between Italy and Austria. A good haul to get up there, and cold in September. They had decided to take a shortcut, off the trail, and through a gully strewn with ice and water and jagged rocks.
So they saw something coming out of the ice. The first moment they were even not sure what it is, so they became closer, and then they realized that this is a human body.
This is a Mensch. Und dann hat mein Mann gesagt.
The voice you're hearing belongs to Albert Zink. He has told this story many times, and you'll find out why soon enough.
How much of him was sort of sticking out, or was it just barely there?
Yeah, it was most of the body. The upper body was more or less popping out of the ice. He was a bit bended over a rock, so you couldn't really see the legs.
The body was face down, hairless, with a bony ridge of spine descending into the snow. His skin was unevenly colored, like full-grain leather. He was naked, or naked from the waist up, anyway. But that doesn't mean he was empty-handed.
A fur coat, and there was one shoe still attached to his foot. There was an arrows, there was a quiver, there was a bow, an axe with a copper plate, and also a little knife with a stone plate.
Helmut wanted to take a picture. They were heading towards the next stop on their journey, another alpine hut. But Erika disagreed. She was superstitious.
She said to her husband, you cannot make a photograph of a dead body. That's something you are not allowed to do. But he said, I have to documentate it. Otherwise, nobody will believe us what we have found. They actually made one photograph. It was still the times where they had analog cameras and not smartphones. So it was actually the last photo on the camera they used for this picture.
Since its discovery, the body that Helmut and Erika found has become one of the most famous corpses of all time. It's been poked, prodded, sampled, subjected to advanced forensic testing, and today we know more about the man in the ice than you could possibly imagine. Who was he, and what kind of secrets might he be keeping? That's what we're going to find out. I'm Taylor Quimby, and this is Patient Zero.
I live by routines, especially my same-day delivery routine with Shipt. Because when Sunday rolls around, I'm not scared. I got my shopper on the way with all my favorites. Shipt, delight in every delivery. Learn more at Shipt.com.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
It took 4 days for rescue teams to carve the man out from under the ice and fly him off the mountain. The body was under meltwater during the day, frozen solid at night. Two men used a pneumatic drill to try and free him, eventually switching to ice picks and poles. His equipment was packed up and brought down the slopes, and they accidentally tore into the flesh of his hip, trying to pry him out. But eventually, he was freed.
Yeah, he was brought to the forensic department in Innsbruck University. Because the forensic doctors, they just treated this as an unknown, let's say, dead body, an unknown corpse, and they made the investigation, and they were close, let's say, to discard the mummy or to bury the mummy, because they said, we don't have any indication for the identity. It looks like that he died already several decades ago. So it's not maybe really a forensic case where we have to look for a murder or something like this.
Just to lay out the absurdity of this, some forensic doctors were brought a mummified corpse, complete with a stone knife, clothes made of animal furs, and a handmade bow and arrow. And they were thinking, well, at least we don't need to look for who killed him. Fortunately, before they buried or cremated the Iceman, the real experts got involved.
But then they also realized that there are these equipment and the clothing that really looks ancient. So they decided to involve an archaeologist. And he came to the forensic department. He saw the equipment. He immediately said, stop, this is something very, very important. It must be at least, at that time, 4,000 years old.
The body of the man was so well preserved, doctors had no idea they were looking at one of the oldest human mummies ever discovered. It took an archaeologist looking at his tools to recognize the style of the Copper Age.
I don't want to sound presumptuous, but I can imagine that the bow and the quiver and the axe would have been a pretty dead giveaway that it was a very old body.
Yeah, for sure. You would think that it's strange that they didn't realize. Yeah, that's true. His name is Ötzi, so at least this is the name he is called, because obviously, as the forensic doctor rightly said, we didn't find the passport. And Ötzi was a name that was given to him by a journalist at the time he was found. Also, there are other names like Iceman in English, or some people also call him Frozen Fritz.
At this point, it's probably worth telling you who Albert Zink is. He's the head of the Institute for Mummy Studies, which was founded with the sole purpose of gleaning every bit of information possible from this amazing archaeological find. Let me say that again. After finding this body, an entire institute was founded to do research on him. It now has over 400 scientists, and yes, its research scope has expanded beyond Ötzi and Ötzi alone, but that's how it started. Albert Zink is one of the select few that have actually, and I'm sorry if this is weird, but actually touched a 5,000-year-old corpse.
It's quite interesting because I used to work with a lot of mummies, mainly Egyptian mummies, and they're all very stiff, and because they're completely dried out. And he's still a bit soft when he's not frozen, so he really is quite different from many other mummies I've seen.
What's it feel like? Leather?
Yeah, a bit like leather, a bit like, let's say, a bit soft, maybe humid leather that you, it could be compared to that.
Back when Ötzi was first found, though, Albert was still in grad school. And the investigative team that took over studying the body in the 90s, they were still covering the basics, using some tried and true forensic science.
Yeah, first, one of the first things they did was to make radiographs and also computed tomography. These are non-invasive techniques, so you can have a look inside, how is he preserved. And then they tried to figure out the age. The sex was quite obvious also from an external inspection.
You mean that you could see his genitalia?
Yeah, exactly. You still can see it also today. They are a bit, well, obviously also desiccated, but they're quite easily identifiable.
Yeah.
I'm always saying it's not a surprise after 5,000 years in the ice that they are quite small.
From here, they started putting Utsi through the forensic ringer, conducting every test they could safely conduct without further damaging his ancient body.
First, we did a bone biopsy from a hip bone. And they also started to take samples from the intestines. But we also got bacterial DNA. We got the DNA from the things he ate.
They were able to tell from Utsi's tissue samples that he was 40 to 50 years old when he died. They could guess at his approximate build, and they could see that the mountain where he was found was not simply his final resting place. It was a crime scene.
We know he was murdered. He was killed by an arrow shot from behind.
But most fascinating to me was the detailed health profile they were able to work up. We know more about Utsi's health than we do for millions of uninsured Americans who haven't gotten a checkup in however many years. For instance...
Yeah, we found several, let's say, pathological conditions in the Iceman, some of minor importance, which also comes with age and with his occupation, like he had a lot of degenerative disease in his legs and in his hip joints.
Utsi had lower back problems, perhaps from walking up and down mountains all the time. He had intestinal parasites and another bacteria in his belly.
A stomach pathogen, the Helicobacter pylori.
Helicobacter pylori, by the way, is what gives people gastritis.
Yeah, gastritis or stomach ulcer.
But hey, you guys already knew that, didn't you?
Take soothing Pepto-Bismol and feel good again.
Scientists were also surprised to find that he had genetic predisposition to heart disease.
And he also had some arterial calcifications.
Which was unusual, given that we consider that to be a largely modern-day problem. Plus, for a mummy, Utsi was in pretty good shape.
Very active. He walked a lot. He was not overweight. He was a non-smoker, as far as we know.
They were even able to reconstruct Utsi's last few meals by cataloging the contents of his preserved stomach.
A lot of meat, because we could identify that there are a lot of meat fibers inside, some also, let's say, botanical residues. And in a closer examination, we then found out that the meat is coming from the alpine ibex. There was also some indication for red deer meat, so he ate a lot of meat.
They also found early forms of wheat. Otzi wasn't afraid of carbs, apparently. And one big surprise... traces of bracken fern, a poisonous plant that Utsi likely would have known to avoid given his lifestyle.
But on the other hand, we know that maybe in a small dose you can use this to treat your intestinal parasites. And we also know from previous studies that he had some intestinal parasites, and maybe he used this as a kind of medicine to fight these pathogens.
And then, one of the biggest finds, or at least one that's gotten a whole lot of press attention, has had to do with a little old spirochete named Borrelia burgdorferi. The connection between the Iceman and Lyme disease was widely reported in February of 2012. And since then, it has been written about and referenced in dozens of articles. It's routinely trotted out in materials about tick-borne illness and by advocacy organizations for Lyme. And why not? It's a great story, and it points to the longevity and tenacity of this particular pathogen. The first case of documented Lyme, patient Utsi. But like so many things having to do with Lyme disease, the reality behind Utsi's posthumous diagnosis is not what it seems. All sorts of people reported on the findings that he had Lyme, but as far as I can tell, nobody reported on it when Albert and his colleagues cautiously corrected the record.
We talked a lot to colleagues because they were all very interested in our findings. And then we had to state that well, we found Borrelia, so we can say there is indication of Borrelia, of the genus, of the family of this bacteria, but we don't have a clear evidence for Borrelia burgdorferi, which means we cannot really be 100% sure that he had Lyme disease. It's still possible. We still hope to analyze this more in detail, but at the moment you have to be a bit more cautious with this interpretation.
The DNA found in the Iceman did belong to Borrelia, but they can't say it belonged to Borrelia burgdorferi. And remember, there are 52 known species of Borrelia. Less than half of those belong to the group that caused Lyme disease. So the Iceman could be the oldest known case of relapsing fever, or the oldest known case of something we don't totally understand. This is one of the biggest things we have to watch out for in Lyme world. But also, let's face it, in politics and on virtually every other complicated issue that's discussed online, even though science and medicine can evolve and change, the past is often served up right alongside the present. Information is readily available, but sorting through it and verifying its accuracy is no easy task. I read any number of articles telling me that Utsi had Lyme disease, and if I hadn't called the man in charge of studying him, I would be saying the same thing. And frankly, this is the nature of both journalism and science. Big breakthroughs get a lot of attention in headlines. Retractions and corrections, not so much. Combine all this, and you get a world in which people who aren't doing the most careful research can cherry-pick their sources and construct almost any reality they want. And that is how you get Lyme World. This bonus episode of Patient Zero was produced and reported by me, Taylor Quimby. Sam Evans-Brown is Patient Zero's senior producer. Erica Janik is executive producer. Graphics by Sarah Plord. Maureen McMurray is director of content. If you've got questions, concerns, or comments about Patient Zero, we want to hear from you. Email us at patientzero@nhpr.org. Patient Zero's theme was composed and performed by Ty Gibbons. Additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Patient Zero is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.